Blessed to be here together this morning, and I'm really thankful for the opportunity now to lead us in the study of God's Word. If you're visiting with us, you are very welcome. We're glad you're with us. We've taken the Lord's Supper today, and we've sung songs to the Lord and to one another. And now is a time where we can open up God's Word together for us today. Today, we are going to do things a little bit different than we normally do. In a moment, our brother David is going to get up and address the congregation. And so I'll ask for your attention once more after that. So I'm going to be here for a moment, and then David will be up in a moment, and then afterward I'll come up and speak further. But for now, I hope you have your Bibles open to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. We're going to look very, very briefly at our text this morning before we move to the next portion of our assembly together. Our brother David's already read for us verses 11 through 12, the idea that under the sun there are a fair number of things that seem just unfair, unjust. The race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong, bread to the wise, riches to the intelligent, favor to those with knowledge, time and chance happen to them all. And so we have here the preacher just repeating the common refrain that life just doesn't seem to add up sometimes. And we've understood that so far. The preacher often repeats this. There are common troubles here. Death is our end. And so the question we ask is, what's the point? We're going to make 2 points very briefly here this morning. First of all, that living has an advantage. Aren't you glad you came for that one this morning? Living has an advantage. And secondly, our advantages are meaningless without God. Let's read Ecclesiastes 9, verses 1 through 10. But all this I laid to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, man does not know. Both are before him. It is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices, him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is a sinner. And he who swears, takes an oath, is as he who shuns an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also the hearts of the children of man are full of evil. The madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go the dead. But he who is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun. Go, eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. 2 points again. First of all is that living has an advantage. So first, Ecclesiastes 9 verse 4 says that he who is joined with all the living has hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Now there's a bite of wisdom for you. A living dog is better than a dead lion. You ever played the game or had the conversation, if you could be any animal, what animal would you be? And I would definitely, well, I think I've recently changed it. Honey badgers are pretty cool. But a bear. I would love to be a bear because they get to hibernate about this time of year. And nobody messes with a bear. And so you just kind of like have the run of things. And I would just enjoy just moseying around eating salmon and berries all day long. So that's a bear. But would you rather be a dead bear or a living worm? You know. So it's here Solomon says that living has an advantage. That whatever you choose, it's better to be alive. And you have to admit that's a bit humorous, right? Whatever kind of silly game you might play with that. But it's real wisdom. For one, you cannot let the fact that you are one day going to die keep you from living the life that you have now. And let me get just very serious with you for a moment. For those who are wishing that they were not living, or who may even wonder why they were born, take this to heart. Living is better than being dead. Now, I understand that Paul says in Philippians that to die is gain, right? To live is Christ, but to die is gain. That doesn't work, though, if you don't know the Lord. And Paul talks about living for a very specific purpose. And so living has the advantage of living out that purpose that God has given us. Thomas Nagel, who's a philosopher, best-selling author, professor of philosophy, law of emeritus at New York University, and a lot of other things that really just don't matter, but he said this: life may be not only meaningless, but absurd. Leo Tolstoy said, the only absolute knowledge attainable by man is that life is meaningless. And I would suggest to you that that is what the preacher of Ecclesiastes has been saying all along, but what he is saying now is that however absurd life may seem, living is still better than being dead. So take advantage. Take it to heart and use your life to your advantage. Do not waste the breath that God has given you today. You woke up for a reason. And thank God for that. Now, do not mistake me for saying this morning that you need now to go and achieve some great thing, do something really impressive in order to justify your life. Because the preacher addresses that too in Ecclesiastes 9, verses 11 and 12. He says, again, I saw under the sun, races not to the swift. So however fast you are, however strong, however smart, however wealthy you are, it is pointless. That's what the preacher says. And so he says in verse 12, man does not know his time. You're going to be caught. You're going to be done. And then what will add up to? What's remarkable to me is, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 9. What's remarkable to me is how similar in thought this passage in Ecclesiastes 9 is to Jeremiah 9 in verse 23 and 24. See if this doesn't ring true. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Our greatest advantage, really our only advantage in this life, is that we know our Maker. That is the one advantage we have. John 17 and verse 3, Jesus says this: this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus addressing the weary, addressing those who have been following him, the disciples who have been longing for some help in this world. In Matthew 11, verse 25, he says this in prayer to God: I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding. Your wisdom can't find it. Wisdom, earthly wisdom, can't find it out. But you have revealed this to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus says you need to know God. That's what life is. And you're not going to know him if you don't know me, Jesus says. And to know Jesus, then, is what life is really all about. Your life is worth living. But you are only really living if you know the Lord. I'm going to pray, and then Elijah will lead us in a song, and then I'll turn it over to David. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for this time to be refreshed in your word. The ability to assemble in peace like this with brothers and sisters who love you and love each other is a treasure. And now we ask that you would teach us what life is for, and that you would help us not to put our trust in what we think we know and how strong we think we might be and what great things we might achieve. We want to know you. We want to know your mercy and your justice and your righteousness. It is in these things that you delight, and we want to learn to delight in these things too. We ask that you would delight in us. Please heal us. Forgive us and teach us to walk with you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.